so much paralyzing terror as in this hair-raising orgy of sadism.
The mouth of the streets to tell their friends how wonderful it is to be scared to death.
Hello and welcome to episode 935 of Dread Media. I'm your host, Desmond Reddick, back with you for another great episode. It's an episode that I put together in a very quick period over a very short period of time, and I'm going to tell you all about what's coming up this week, right after I let you know that we're proud to be sponsored by the Dread Media Patreon supporters, the Patron Dreadites. So head on over to patreon.com/dreadmedia. Support the show for as little as a dollar a month. Thank you very much to everyone who does. Let's talk about this week. This week is a big one. I got a little bit of feedback. I got a last minute roadkill review. Yeah, roadkill review with one of my sons. And I've got two Dread Media top fives to, one in order to pay tribute to the late, great Ozzy Osbourne. Not going to talk about it too much because I'm kind of torn up about it, as you might imagine. But what a way to go out, you know, just over 2 weeks after headlining the most successful charity concert of all time. It was bigger than Live Aid. Fucking nuts. Anyway, R.I.P. Ozzy Osbourne. We'll pay tribute to him a little bit later, as it feels as though we've already just paid tribute to him. Well worth it. So, R.I.P. Ozzy Osbourne. So, what's coming up this week? Okay. So, my youngest, who's going to go away to university in September, was like, hey, let's go see Superman. And I was like, yep. Okay, so we did a roadkill review in the car on the way back, so I have that for you. Going to apologize right off the bat for the quality of the audio. As you know, those ones have, you know, the roar of the highway in the back. I tried to mitigate it as best as possible. In fact, it was worse on one track than it was on the other, so I just mimicked the better track and got the best audio I could without affecting the quality of the audio itself, because I'm still not great with a noise gate. You know what I mean? So if I want to bring down the roar in the background, I'm not good at that without clipping out a lot of the voice. So we don't want that. So deal with it. And then, yesterday afternoon we did that and recorded the review. I edited that review and I thought it would be kind of fun because we sort of talk about a little bit of fan casting and about future DC movie universe movies. So I thought I'd do a Dread Media top five DC universe movies I'd love to see with some fan casting, as well as, of course, paying tribute to the Prince of Fucking Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne, with a Dread Media top five Ozzy Osbourne TV and film appearances. So let's get to it. One of those guys that played that last concert back to the beginning is the bass player of Guns N' Roses, Duff McKagan, and on his Beautiful Disease solo record, which is a great solo record, he has a song called Superman. So here it is, Superman by Duff McKagan.
Superman, won't you give me a hand so I can show you? heading west on the long, lonely highway, only his dreams for company, until...
My mother told me never to do this.
Before many miles, he'll wish he'd taken his mom's advice.
It's a cross-country road wreck, and the traffic is murder.
Two men. 100 miles of rough and windy terrain. Nasty weather. A shitload of gasoline. One move. Go kill review time, baby.
Been a long ass time since I've done one of these.
Is there?
Yeah. Well, I guess this is sort of a roadkill review / growing up geek. Been a longer time since you've done one of these.
Yeah, I feel like the last time was like a Planet of the Apes movie. And that would have been like two of them ago, like the war one.
I don't even know if we did that, did we?
I don't know.
I don't know about that. But yeah, I'm here with my youngest son, Davin, who's 18 now.
Yeah, hello. Yeah.
And we have just walked out of James Gunn's Superman.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to synopsize the movie. It's Superman. But we'll talk about some stuff we like, maybe some stuff we didn't like. I don't know. We haven't talked that much about it.
No.
But let's start with the obvious one. David Corenswet. What did you think of his Superman and Clark Kent, for that matter?
Well, he looks like it. I feel like Clark Kent could have been a little more nerdy. Or, like, less confident-looking. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I tend to think that they like to sort of err on that side of Clark Kent. So I... This person's trying to cut in front of me. It's kind of... I don't know, it's a little touchy. I feel like they go too geeky and pathetic with Clark Kent a lot.
Yeah.
I like this Clark Kent. Also, he was disheveled. The whole thing with him, you know, walking to work, trying to get through the crowd of people and stuff.
Yeah, that was good.
I think that did a lot for in a little. You know, we saw that in the trailer as well. But I think I appreciate a Superman who, when you look at him, you're not like, oh yeah, he's doing good as Superman. And I kind of think that happened here. He kind of disappeared into the role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's kind of important, because even though I really did like Henry Cavill as Superman, he's still like it's Henry Cavill to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm going to have like a difficult time trying to watch a future David Corenswet movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Without thinking
and
that it's
without
Superman.
Being like, oh shit, it's Superman, yeah. Right? Whereas, you know, I really enjoyed watching Henry Cavill kick the shit out of Tom Cruise in a bathroom.
Right.
Right? You know, and I wasn't thinking, hey, it's Superman at the time, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is that. I thought he was great. I like the slight differences between, you know, Superman and Clark. But I think he pulled it off really well. Also, I think it helped that he had a really great supporting cast, because I think that's where a lot of the strength in this movie is from.
Yeah.
Who do you... Well, I guess we should mention Lois.
Lois was good.
Rachel
I liked
Brosnahan.
Jimmy Olsen a lot.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy nice Olsen to have cool. A Jimmy Olsen that isn't super dark and gritty and gets killed off in the first movie.
Yeah, for sure. So apparently they have announced that there's... I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's like... It's like Jimmy Olsen crime stories or something.
Is that going to be a TV show?
Yeah, it's going to be like a show on HBO Max, like an anthology show about various DC Universe villains. And Jimmy Olsen's going to be like the narrator or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Right? So that's pretty cool. I thought he was great. Yeah. Again, you just got a little bit of time, right? But just enough, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if you'd have asked me, you know, 20 years ago when I was first picking up a comic with the
the Michael Holt version of Mr. Terrific, that I would be seeing him in one of my favorite movies of 2025,
yeah,
I would probably laugh at you, because that is a real delicate character to try and make a movie out of.
Yeah.
But I did you even know that character existed?
Well, no, I knew that it was just going to kind of be not even introduced, just like jump right in and he's there.
Right.
So
right.
I did look into him before watching it, and I never read any comics about that.
Yeah,
like, well, I haven't even gotten to any DC comics.
I've got that whole run of that's from Justice Society, JSA.
Yeah.
So I've got that whole run. You can check that. He's a really awesome character.
Yeah.
I think he's billed as the third smartest man in the DCU,
besides like Lex and Batman or something.
I'm not even sure if Batman's up there, but I think Lex is number one, and someone's number two, and he's number three.
Yeah.
But he's just got this stupid name, like Mr. Terrific. but I think they made they did make a good joke out of it as well. Like, it is a silly name.
Yeah.
And they had the perfect person to do that, because I really wanted to talk about Nathan Fillion as Guy Gardner.
Oh my God.
Holy shit.
My only knowledge of Guy Gardner is from Batman Brave and the Bold.
Oh, right.
Back in the day. And I mean, yeah, he fulfilled that role properly. He is an arrogant douchebag Green Lantern. And yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, I've seen some people being like, how come he can be a Green Lantern? He's such an asshole. It's like, the Green Lantern ring runs on will, you know? Like,
right.
Like, you don't have to be a good person to have incredible will.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I'm totally fine with that. And for me, like, when I was coming of age, Guy Gardner was the Green Lantern. Kind of. Like, he was sort of the breakout character. He was the Green Lantern that was on the Justice League, you know.
Well, he was chosen before Hal Jordan, wasn't he?
No. No, Hal Jordan was the original Silver Age Green Lantern.
Oh, okay.
I think it was Hal Jordan, then John Stewart, then Guy Gardner.
Okay.
I think. I might have had those last two mixed up. But, yeah, I mean, Guy Gardner sort of made, like, the Green Lantern corner of the DC universe a little bit more fun and dangerous. And Hal Jordan was kind of getting stuffy and, you know, not as cool. So yeah. He was sort of like the edgy replacement. But he sort of earned himself as a bit of a comedic corner of the DC Comics universe. You know,
yeah.
He was the Green Lantern during the JLI, the Bwahaha era, where it is basically a sitcom with superheroes.
Okay.
Still, like, my top five favorite comic book runs, period, that era. But, yeah, to see him on screen was really awesome. I really liked Hawkgirl. I thought she was rad. Isabella Merced? Is that her name?
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't see a lot of it, but...
Yeah, of the three... Well, I guess there's four new heroes, right? Of the three Justice Gang, we see the least amount of her.
I think if we got, like, some cool close-up flying shots and stuff like that, everything that had her in it was very fast.
Yes, yeah.
And,
I will say a lot of the action was also very fast.
Yeah.
Like, there was a little bit of my old eyes trying to catch up a little bit, but, you know... I didn't mind it too much. I just thought it was awesome. I love to see her, like, flying down, shrieking, you know, flying down a hallway with that mace in her hand.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, I know that I showed you and your brother endless hours of Justice League Unlimited and all that. So,
and I've seen, just about all of the DC Animated Universe anyways.
Yeah, right.
And she and Hawkman are both in it, and...
Yeah, well, I think she really... In that Justice League Unlimited cartoon, like, I think she really... That version of the character really brought the Hawk people back to popularity. Because there's, like, a whole, like, the history... Like, one of the trade paperbacks of the Justice Society comic that I have that you can read, it spends, I don't know, like, 6 to 8 issues trying to, like... mash the entire continuity of the Hawk people into one understandable thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I don't know how successful they were at it. It's still quite confusing. But for what we needed in here, I thought she was great. Isabel Merced was great. Fillion was great.
Yeah.
I can't remember that guy's name who played Mr. Terrific, but he was awesome.
He was Darwin in the X-Men universe.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right, the First Class.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay, yeah. Right. I didn't
worst
pick up on that.
Fucking comic book death ever. That shit is so retarded.
Yeah,
I mean,
that was dumb.
I mean, why? Dumb. Yeah. yeah, the dude that's supposed to...
Dad's gonna get cancer.
Yeah. The guy that's supposed to, like, acclimate to anything can't survive an energy blast inside his body.
Yeah, that was a stupid death.
That was really dumb.
That was a stupid death. I think there was kind of an outcry about that at the time. Although I liked that movie overall.
Yeah, the movie
but
was okay.
That movie bought a lot of credit for me with Nazi hunting Magneto. So. And I don't know the actor's name. I can't remember it. But the guy who plays No-Ho Hank from Barry was, another character who has a much longer history, but also would have laughed at you if you'd have told me that Metamorpho, the Element Man, would have been, you know, a pivotal character in a massive box office hit Superman movie in 2025. I thought he was awesome. I like the direction they're going with the character. I think it's a kind of character you can sort of change up direction a little bit, because I don't think the comic book version is so strong necessarily, other than like a really cool power set and sort of an interesting, you know, like the freakish superhero look.
Yeah.
You know, like I like that. You know, I've been a thing. I'm a fan of the Thing. Right,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I love the freak superheroes, you know.
Yeah, hell yeah.
The people, you know, that people are scared of them, but they like help them anyway. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder with the whole angle with him and his son. Makes me wonder if he's going to be in like a Doom Patrol project or something.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't think that's his son in the comics, but I think that character is like from a modern rendition of Doom Patrol. But I might be making that up. I'm not sure. That's what I think, anyway. But I don't think he's ever had, like, a little green sun in the comics before. Huh. But I really liked him. I thought, like, the way they made his powers look was really awesome. You know, sometimes when he's just, like, the floating head.
Yeah, that was cool. That was funny. Or, like, a tentacle-looking dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. So, yeah, I liked him. Well, we got to talk about Nicholas Holt as Lex Luthor.
Yeah. D1 hater.
Yeah,
he was great.
Sure. He was absolutely great. Yeah, just completely embodied that role.
Yeah, well, him and David Cornsweet both read the comics, and they're both good fans of DC. So I think they're both going to do like a really good job portraying the characters and portraying how much Lex hates Superman.
Yeah,
for no real reason.
Right. Well, I guess he outlined it near the end there. We won't really talk about that, but it's kind of a. Sort of a typical Lex Luthor motivation, you know? Like, just frustrated that an alien gets to come and, you know, get all this great attention when he is, you know, this real...
rich genius guy.
Yeah, this, like, sort of genius mind who wants everybody to look up to him kind of thing. And, you know, I think it's kind of funny that some immigrant came and took his job and made him cry at the end.
Yeah.
Fantastic. like, that's great. I think they left it open for some real awesome future Lex Luthor stuff in this new DC universe.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to Bell Rev, right?
The prison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... I don't know. I don't know if there's plans for another Suicide Squad movie, but...
Oh, man. Anything with a villain lead type movie would be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it leads towards an Injustice League movie or something, right?
Yeah.
So I'd be all for that. James Gunn said that Gorilla Grodd is going to be around
in the
future.
Yeah, that would be hype, yeah.
So that's cool.
I was just about to say that.
Look at this. Reclining chair sitting on the highway. Look at that.
That's pretty good, actually.
Not bad, yeah. You grab that for your new place.
Yeah. I thought Ultraman was great.
Ultraman was cool?
I was really glad that he's already a part of it. And I think that still reinforces the idea that it's probably going to be the Earth 2 Justice League or whatever it was. I forget what their name was, but the Owlman, Super Woman, Ultraman, Johnny Quick, or whatever. And then
Ring Bearer or something, is that what he is?
Oh, the Green Lantern, John Stewart Green Lantern.
Yeah.
Rogue guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, where Lex Luthor is the good guy in that universe.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
We're on
that
Earth. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be actually a real ballsy move, establish all these superheroes and then make a movie where they're playing their evil versions and the villain is the good guy.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
That would be really cool.
I did be digging that for sure. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if I really, other than a lot, like, a bunch of the action was, like, super quick, maybe a little bit too fast for me.
I know there's, like, controversy around it, but honestly, I think one of my favorite fight scenes could have been the Mr. Terrific one.
Yeah, I was gonna say that, yeah.
With,
With Lois Lane in the force field.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. Again, like, somehow that guy stole the movie. You know? Yeah. He was fucking awesome.
Definitely, yeah.
Walking around in his big goofy leather jacket with the words fair play on his arms.
Yeah. I think that his tech looks really cool.
Yeah.
His spaceship was weird enough looking.
Yeah, yeah. It was very, like, Ted Kord Beetle, Blue Beetle.
Yeah.
The Beetle Mobile or whatever the hell he called it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Very much like that. And I loved Crypto. We haven't talked about Crypto.
Crypto is cool.
He's a
big Kirby.
Yeah, he was very misbehaved white dog, just like the one we got at home. I think it won't be hard to find red capes for dogs this Halloween. Yeah. So,
oh, speaking of cape, I loved that they added the yellow symbol on the back.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, it was honestly the most comic booky comic book movie I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah, the colors were awesome.
Yeah.
I loved how vibrant the whole movie was, and some really cinematic-looking shots of space and the black hole. And
yeah, well, and the pocket dimension.
Yeah, yeah.
What did you think of the costumes? Not Superman. I mean, I thought Superman's costume was great. It was good to see him with the shorts on the outside.
I like it. If only he didn't have such a high collar, that would be, like, the only thing
right.
I'd change.
I get that.
But
I get that.
I think it looked really good. I think Guy Gardner's costume was great. It'll probably change once he gets out of the, you know, team that they're currently on.
Right.
I feel like they'll evolve a little bit.
Yeah. But there is something about, like, okay, so that kind of... So when I first saw the costumes, like, in the images, right, of, like... Mr. Terrific, Guy Gardner, and Hawk Girl. Like, that was the only stuff we... Like, that were some of the first images of the movie that anybody saw. Was them filming that. But I was like, I'm not sure I like it. But watching it in action, it really...
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for the 90s Avengers comics, where the Avengers, like, all wore, like...
Similar uniform.
Well, they all wore their costumes, but over top, they'd wear, like, these bomber jackets.
Oh, okay.
And they started doing it in another Avengers comic that came out last year, like Avengers Assemble? Is that what the...
Like, that's the TV show.
Like, no, it's... Yeah, I know, but there was a mini-series about Captain America's team of Avengers right after the vampire invasion. It was, like, a small team. It's, like, Kate Bishop, the young Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Captain America, Hercules, and I can't remember who else is on the team, but they got jackets again, and I was, like, really excited for them to have jackets for some reason. I like a matching jacket, and I appreciated that with...
Yeah, their uniforms were actually pretty well executed, and I like that they kept their own colors, too.
Yeah.
Like, there were still green accents and gold accents and red for Terrific, and... Yeah, I like that.
And speaking of the colors, I didn't even pick up on it until, I think it was, it was the Mr. Terrific fight scene that those, what are they, the Raptors.
Yeah, the Metahuman army.
Lex Luthor's, well, those are power suits, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
But, like, those suits, they when I was first seeing them, I thought they were, like, gunmetal gray or something.
But it's like green and blue.
In the sun, when they were having that fight, it's the green and purple. that is Lex Luthor's armor.
Oh, yeah, okay. So I didn't notice
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, we're seeing colors in a superhero movie again, which is always nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anything else to say about Superman?
Himself? I don't know, but...
Well, about the movie overall, sure.
I liked the Fortress of Solitude.
Oh, yeah, that was cool. The robots?
I loved the way that it revealed itself when Superman was around. Mm-hmm. I loved the robots. They were all practical. It wasn't CGI, too. I think that's really awesome.
Did you catch the who was doing the voices for the robots?
No.
One of them's Michael Rooker, who was Yondu.
Oh, okay.
The new one, who was like, oh my god, he smiled at me or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That was Palm Clementif, who is, Mantis.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. Yeah, he loves to recast his old...
Yeah, I mean, every director has that.
Sure. And,
like, Nathan Fillion, too. Well, Nathan Fillion was,
He was the orange...
Arms come off guy or whatever in the Suicide Squad.
Oh, that too. Yeah, I was going to say Guardians of the Galaxy 3 as well. He was like an officer in...
Oh, he's one of the Nova Corps.
No, not Nova Corps. He was... it's like the one of the storage places where they went to get the information for Rocket. And like, because Rocket was dying and they were trying to get his codes from like in his brain or whatever. And they have this shuttle in space somewhere that they had to infiltrate and... Nathan Fillion was like one of the head officer guys.
Huh.
Yeah.
I was really straining in that pocket universe prison to see if there were any like recognizable supervillains.
Yeah, no, I know. I was looking around for
couldn't pick it. Anything. Maybe someone's got a nice HD screen grab of it that we could pour through or something. But I thought that idea was cool. I would have liked to see some other villains in there to tease. That's what we didn't get, I guess, is like there's no clear
Easter eggs.
Well, not just Easter eggs. There's no real clear vision of where we're going next.
Yeah.
So, like, this plan was foiled. Everybody loves Superman again. What now? Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sure, there's going to be some, I'm sure, some tension with other members of the group and stuff. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I think Supergirl is next, right? Is that the next
thing? Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow?
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess.
Oh, I think Peacemaker, they took that off, actually.
Peacemaker 2.
Here, let me look it up.
I can edit this up. I know. Peacemaker Season 2 is coming. That's the next thing that's coming. And then, well, there's that Lanterns TV show that's coming. I assume maybe Fillion will be in that a little bit.
Okay, James Gunn. Okay, so next is. We got Creature Commandos. I think a new season's coming up of that.
Yeah.
It's a Waller TV show.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Lanterns TV show. Oh, I was so hyped when they announced that. And then seeing Guy Gardner and the way he used his powers and the CGI in that, I thought it just made me even more excited. That I'm really hyped about.
It's going to be different, though.
No, I know.
That's going to be like a murder mystery on Earth, I think, is how they're playing that.
Well, either way, we get introduced to Hal Jordan and John Stewart.
Hey, John Stewart. Have you seen the movie that the John Stewart guy was in? Aaron St. Pierre, is that his name?
I know who he is. I don't know what movie
he's talking about. I can't remember the name of it. I don't know. He's trying to get his brother out of prison, and he's in this small town with a corrupt sheriff, and he has to kick the shit out of him kind of thing. Really good.
Okay.
Came out last year.
Apparently Netflix. There's a Hawkman project coming.
Is there? Okay.
A Zatanna project.
I would have rather seen a Hawk Girl project, frankly. Or Hawk Woman, whatever they're going to call it.
Yeah.
Feels like girl. Like, she's young.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't know how accurate these are. It could just be, like, teaser kind of
thing. Yeah, it could have been a while ago, too. Plans changed. There was some movie that they scrapped that the script wasn't good enough. I can't remember what it was.
Well, there was Batgirl like a long time ago, but that's
before James Gunn.
Yeah.
Yeah, they tanked that movie after it was finished.
Yeah, that's lame.
Totally lame. But, yeah. Anyway, whatever comes next, I'm interested to see. Again, it was very much like the most DC Comics movie I've ever seen a DC Comics movie project attempt. You know what I mean? Like, it felt real.
And
felt
I'm glad they're finally building something rather than Zack Snyder. Like, what he was going to do, what, like a Justice League 2, maybe?
Yeah.
With the fast-forwarded whatever. He already ruined it by the end there. Like, the end of that Justice League
Don't get
League
the Snyder Bros, man.
Yeah, okay. But I'm glad they're going to finally build to something real and have a proper cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. And I can do without Darkseid, too, if they decide to do something else.
I mean,
you've seen it before. You,
also, they could save him for 10 years down the line.
Definitely,
right?
Yeah, he's a big enough threat.
Let's have the normal, not normal, but like let's have the more grounded. I mean, it's perfect to have Lex Luthor, I think. That's a very recognizable villain for people.
Yeah.
And then to introduce something like we have Gorilla Grodd coming, right?
Yeah, that's
so
going
to
be awesome.
That'll be interesting. I'm interested to see all the other, like, surely, like, there's going to be a Clayface movie.
Yeah.
So,
see, what people think is, and I think what would be really cool too, is a horror type movie where.
They've already said it's going to be a horror movie.
No, but where it's in kind of the point of view of Clayface, and that's when we see Batman for the first time.
Oh,
and he's
yeah.
He's like this horror figure.
and
super dark movie, which would be friggin' awesome.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. Yeah, I've always liked Clayface, and if they do it like the cool version of the comics, that'll be even better.
Yeah, no matter what, I'm most excited to see Batman, just because I love Batman. And I'd be thrilled to see yellow and blue on his suit.
Yeah, same. Yeah, if they go blue and gray, I'll probably shed a tear.
Yeah,
just because that's my jam. That light blue and light gray.
Suit. Even black and gray. If they keep the yellow, or the black on yellow chest symbol.
Yeah,
that would be awesome. I would. Yeah.
Let's tell the truth here, Davin. What you're really looking forward to is the Batmobile.
Oh yeah, definitely. I love Batmobiles.
I know. Davin has a collection of Batmobiles. Velcroed to the dashboard of his truck.
Yeah, my Batmobile.
Of your Batmobile, yeah. All right, I think we're done here.
Cool.
Anything else to say about Superman?
No.
What do you give it out of five?
Five.
Okay.
Five stars?
Five to five. You know what? I don't know why I shouldn't either. My only real thing about it... Oh, two things. That fast action, but that's just the way action is done now, so
yeah.
I'm not going to hold that against it.
Well, all the characters in this movie are very fast in general, like flying and movement.
Yeah.
So it's hard to depict, like, if you were wanting to do a nice slow scene, it doesn't make any sense for Superman to be moving all slow and having a slow fight scene. So you kind of need to be fast anyways.
Well, which was why that Mr. Terrific fight was so cool, because he was sort of slow, but he was throwing his T-spheres around.
Yeah,
right?
And those move
and
crazy
like that, I'd like to watch that scene again, because surely there was stuff that I missed focusing on certain... Like, I was focusing... Like, one guy grabbed it with both hands, and I was focusing on him as he was being, like, shocked by the thing, as all this sort of shit is going on in the background.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of combos he threw at them, too.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Yeah, really cool. But also, we haven't mentioned... I can't remember this actor's name, but he played Perry White from The Daily Planet.
The boss?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm upset that he didn't look at the camera and say, "She." If you watch The Wire, you'll understand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, five out of five. Let's get out of here. Thanks, Davin.
Cool.
I got both.
I forgot to throw to this song at the end of that review, but yeah, I mean, it makes sense because I didn't actually know the name of the song. That was Punk Rocker by Teddy Bears featuring Iggy Pop from the movie Superman. So there you go. Always like to credit the musicians. Let's get right to the
Dread Media Top 5.
That's right, the Dread Media Top 5 wish list of DC movie, you know, fan casting. These movies aren't going to get made. And even if they do, it probably won't be this cast. For the most part. So come with me on my flights of fancy, okay? Number 5 is going to sort of include some runners up and stuff. So number 5 is going to be like a three-way tie. For the most part, I think these are all answers that are, you know, could be very cool with a modern interpretation in the modern day with some colorful weird heroes. So first up is Animal Man. I mean, I love that Vertigo, that first run, especially of the Vertigo Animal Man. They did a lot of really interesting stuff meta-wise. I think I would eschew that from the filmic version, but also that run did also do a bunch of stuff on like animal rights and stuff. And I think that's the way to go forward with an Animal Man movie. You can even include, like, the newer stuff about the Red, you know what I mean? That he can tap into for his powers, but really it's about what he does with them. So, yeah, Animal Man, like a full-on animal rights activist Animal Man movie would be awesome. Probably never going to happen. Number 2 would be the Ditko creation, The Creeper. Jack Ryder, who's, like, a reporter. And then who also, due to like a weird implant under his skin, transforms into the deranged lunatic, the Creeper, with superpowers. Oh man, I didn't cast Animal Man. I feel like, Ryan Gosling would be a good Animal Man. More half Nelson than Fall Guy, you know, less quippy, cutesy kind of guy, a more, world weary kind of guy. But yeah, I think Ryan Gosling could do that. The Creeper? I don't know. I like the idea of like Riz Ahmed as sort of like a more like intrepid new sort of like new journalist, not like you know like Lois Lane and Clark Kent, but more like, you know, runs a blog or, you know, does freelance work for various news organizations. Which takes him to uncover this whatever conspiracy that he has to fight as the Creeper, but he's also a madman, so he's fighting himself at the same time. The Creeper is basically like Green Goblin if it's a good guy, you know? Very weird. I mean, other than the journalism stuff. And then the other number 5 on my list is another Steve Ditko creation. This time I'm talking about Hawk and Dove. Now, personally, I prefer the later version of Hawk and Dove. Well, I don't know. I don't know what it is now or what the last version was, but I'm talking about the second version of Hawk and Dove. Hank Hall with Dawn Granger, the female Dove. But also, I thought they were portrayed really awesomely in the Titans TV show. And boy, is Dove a smoke show in that show. Gosh dang. Yeah, so I think I'm going to go back to the original, the brothers, Hawk and Dove, and I think that's what makes it more interesting story-wise with two brothers. One wants to use his fist to solve every problem, and the other one is a pacifist who uses redirection and you know, gymnastic moves to get out of the way and using people's momentum against them, whereas Hawk just goes around punching and kicking people. I think that dichotomy could be really interesting in a hero duo in today's films. Also, I think if they went comic accurate on the costumes, it would be cool as well. Especially that Hawk costume is rad. And it's the Dove costume is rad when what's-her-name wears it from the Titans as well. Aye, aye, aye. Okay, that was number 5. Number four, I just have it listed as New Gods, but look, maybe we'll call this New Gods Volume 1, The Armageddon. You know, like, it'll be like the early world of Mr. Miracle, Big Barda. Those will be my central characters. There's not going to be Darkseid. Darkseid will be a giant statue in the distance. You know what I mean? Like, this will sort of introduce the world of Apocalypse and New Genesis. And it was specifically Apocalypse. We don't even need to see New Genesis, and it's boring anyway. So in my version of the New Gods movie, I'm going to cast someone funny, someone trim, and someone on the shorter stature side. And Google tells me that he's 5'5.5". So I'm going to go with Kieran Culkin, who I think is, just a great actor. Also, judging by his several recent nominations and wins of various awards for TV and film, he is clearly a phenomenal actor that people love. So Kieran Culkin is going to be my Mr. Miracle. And for my Big Barda, I agonized over this, so I'm just going to go a little goofy with this one because I don't necessarily think this person is a great actress or could necessarily, be the female lead of a massive film. I don't know if she can carry it, but she can carry a lot of things, including Kieran Culkin very easily. And I think that's an important thing. Part of the fan casting discussion that you didn't hear from Davin and my review is that we were fan casting Wonder Woman on the ride down. And I was like, Davin is adamant that Wonder Woman is taller than Superman and Batman. And I'm okay with that, but I'm not absolutely anchored to that. I don't need that to be something that happens, but Barda is literally Big Barda and she needs to be bigger than Mr. Miracle. So what I landed on, and there are also several, tall actresses that are popular and great in Hollywood, but, they're even taller than this, actress, or not necessarily actress that I'm going to cast. They're also like very, very slim. And I think Barda needs to be a muscle mommy. Sorry. So I am casting, WWE superstar Raquel Rodriguez as Big Barda. And, since we don't have Ed Asner anymore, obviously we're going to have to cast Granny Goodness. So how about Miriam Margolyes? I don't know if I've ever seen her in a movie or a TV show. I've seen her on a TV show. I've seen her on, Gordon. Oh, I forgot his fucking name. The British TV show host. Very funny talk show. I always forget his name for some reason. Gordon something. Yeah, she's very funny and body on that. So, I mean, I'm sure she's a decent enough actress. She could put on like an evil laugh and stuff, and that would make her a pretty good Granny Goodness. So there you go. That's my New Gods Volume 1. Rising up from Armageddon. Number 2 would be about, Orion growing up on New Genesis. That's what we'd do there, but I'm not casting that one. Okay, that was number 4. Number 3 is Deadman. And Deadman is a murdered acrobat who is bestowed upon a ghostly power and presence by an Indian god, like a Hindu god, and exists in Deadman form as a ghost, who I believe for the most part cannot be seen unless you are like incredibly magically adept and can see and talk to ghosts. But his power is possessing people in the real world. And that is what makes Deadman the most interesting and fun character to have in the DC movie universe, because it's definitely the most fun you're ever going to have introducing the character, right? Just like we peppered we, just like Marvel peppered, you know, Nick Fury across those early Marvel movies to connect everything together. It would be great to have, you know, Batman, you know, on like the roof of a building, trying to solve a mystery or whatever. And then Deadman comes up and possesses Batman and then like writes in the gravel of the roof, you know, the rooftop gravel stuff, writes there, you know, like the Penguin's men are coming up the stairs or whatever, you know, and then stops possessing Batman, and Batman sort of like looks down and is like, what? And I'm like, looks around, even looks directly at Deadman, but can't see him. But even Batman, like his eyes narrow, there's something there. You just can't tell. You know what I mean? Even Batman can see him, you know, that kind of stuff. That would be really cool. And so the ghost Deadman version would be played by an actor who is no stranger to playing supernatural entities with pasty white face. I'm talking about Bill Skarsgård is going to be our Boston brand slash dead man. Leading us to number two, the demon Etrigan. Yeah, another Jack Kirby project. One of my favorite sort of franchises in the DC universe. I'm sure I've mentioned that before. I mentioned Jason Blood in my favorite Sorcerers. So Jason Blood will be played by Paddy Considine. And he will also be the voice of the rhyming demon Etrigan. I also cast Clarion the Witch Boy in this one. And originally, I thought Kieran Culkin as well. And then I thought, well, what about like Rory Culkin? And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go with like Elliot Page with some manic energy. You know, I think that would be good for Clarion the Witch Boy. That's my number two. Number one, I just decided to go fucking crazy with it. One of my very favorite comic book trade paperbacks is a series that ran in the back of, what was the issue? Oh, yeah. So I think it was like a post-Final Crisis sort of anthology series, Tales of the Unexpected. Now, the first story in this anthology was a Spectre story. Now, I don't really remember the Spectre story at all because I was so blown away by the backup story by Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chiang, the team that would go on to do my favorite Wonder Woman run as well, years later. But they did Dr. 13, Architecture and Mortality. Dr. 13 is, I think he's a Golden Age character who is like a paranormal investigator who is a heavy, heavy skeptic. He has a daughter with magic powers that I'm sure plays, havoc with his skepticism. And they gather a, you know, ramshackle team of weirdos from across time and space, to come together and save reality. All these insane, obscure characters. Andrew Bennett, you know, a very 80s vampire, the eye vampire character, Andrew Bennett from the 80s. A character I think that's been around since the Golden Age, Anthro, the cave boy, who's very much more like a caveman in this one. Who plays that? I don't know, like JC Mateo of WWE fame as well. He's got the build of a caveman. Who plays Andrew Bennett, I Vampire? Shit, I don't know. These ones don't matter so much, so how about we say Robert Pattinson? Captain Fear, the pirate comic book character. Let's say it's Johnny Depp. Genius Jones, I wouldn't even know. I wish it was Haley Joel Osment, but when he was like 8 years old, that would have been great. Infectious Lass from, is she from the Legion of Superheroes? Obscure Legion of Superheroes character? Or is she part of the Failure Legion? I can't remember what they're called. But Infectious Lass, I don't know. How about Sidney Sweeney? And how about Walton Goggins for the Confederate General Ghost, J.E.B. Stewart, he of The Haunted Tank, which would also make for a great movie, that especially that, oh, it was this same era of Haunted Tank, I think, too, post-Final Crisis, or maybe it was before that, but there was a... It was modern, like the Haunted Tank is from World War II, like in the old DC comics. But the new Haunted Tank was from the Iraq War, and the ancestor who drove the tank was a black guy, and the Confederate general was obviously quite racist. So that would make for a pretty wild comedy. But that's not the one I'm casting. So I'm going to say Walton Goggins is the ghost of J.E.B. Stewart. And the mother or the father-daughter team, talk about stunt casting. I'm going to go Ethan Hawke and Maya Hawke as Dr. 13 and Tracy 13. So there you go. That's my number one in my Dread Media top five fan-casted fantasy DC comic book movies. Woof. And usually... I start saying goodbye, or throw to a song, actually, is what I usually do. But before I do any of that, I'm going to do another...
Dread Media Top 5!
That's right, another Dread Media Top 5. This time, I'm doing a Dread Media Top 5 TV and film appearances by the great Ozzy Osbourne. Number five is a funny little reference, and I'm talking about 2001's Moulin Rouge. Yes, Baz Luhrmann's Moulin Rouge, in which Ozzy Osbourne plays like the Green Fairy, right? Yeah, there you go. I was wondering if that's what it was cast as, but yeah, the absinthe fairy, that's Ozzy Osbourne. And I think that's appropriate. I just imagine he wore boots in that one. All right. That was number five. Number four was the best movie appearances actually do come from this era. 'Cause this was 2000. And Ozzy plays himself in Adam Sandler's Little Nicky, which is not as bad as it was made out to be. I will say that. It's also not a great Adam Sandler movie. There are very few of those. Little Nicky is also not one of them. But, yeah, it's a fun little thing. He's playing himself, but still. Number three is a favorite of mine from the 80s, where Ozzy Osbourne was definitely not playing himself. Ozzy played a television preacher, ranting about the dangers of heavy metal in Charles Martin Smith's 1986, heavy metal slasher Trick or Treat. I absolutely love this movie. And, it's awesome to see Ozzy playing this role. You know what I mean? 'Cause you always see Ozzy as one thing. You know, he's in the Ghostbusters movie as himself. He's in a whole bunch of shit as himself. But yeah, it's good to see him as the, the prohibitive, preacher. I like that. Number two, I don't know if I've told this story on the podcast before, but when I went to Mexico, I absolutely brutally shattered my fucking toe. And so the day I did that, like right in the morning, completely shattered my toe. So I spent the rest of that day specifically up until the afternoon, just laying in bed, drinking free Dos Equis beer that was dropped off at my room and watching the Osbournes on MTV LA. Now, MTV LA is not MTV Los Angeles, it's MTV Latin America. So most of its programming is in Spanish. Therefore, the Osbournes is in English, but it has Spanish subtitles. Now, the thing that makes this special, and the reason I never really watched any of the Osbournes before this, is because it was always so censored. And since they all four of them in that family have such potty mouths, they censored the most of every episode was censored out audio. However, they did not censor out English swear words on MTV LA. So I had a great day watching uncensored The Osbournes in Mexico. And really, I mean, I guess he was already a household name before, you know, before The Osbournes TV show. But I mean, yeah, they just had this reality show and it just became the most popular reality show on television. It's absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And it's hilarious. There you go. That's my number two. My number one, I'm sure you've probably guessed it. In 1988, Ozzy Osbourne was in the mid-80s especially. I don't know when that interview was done. It could have been 86, 87. But Ozzy Osbourne was in the absolute depths of drug and alcohol use and addiction. I don't think he was ever truly sober, but this was the worst he was. And he was in Penelope Spheris's The Decline of Western Civilization Part 2, The Metal Years. And in that movie, they interview Ozzy Osbourne as he is attempting to make breakfast in his kitchen. And it is remarkably funny. And we love you, Ozzy. And yeah, immortal, not gone, immortal. Here forever, Ozzy Osbourne. Fuck yeah. All right. If I'm going to talk about my favorite Ozzy solo records, I'm going to do Blizzard of Oz first, and then I'm going to do Bark at the Moon. But if I'm going to talk about my favorite Ozzy solo songs, I'm going to go for his, I think, third solo record, Diary of a Madman. And I believe... I had heard Ozzy say that this is his own personal favorite solo song. Maybe I'm making that up, but I think it's true. I'm talking about Over the Mountain. R.I.P. Ozzy Osbourne. Send me your questions to dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. Oh, I have feedback that I just forgot. Okay, I'm going to save the feedback for next week because this is like an extra long episode. So feedback next week, promise. Chantel, I swear. All right, now I can't fuck that up. send your questions for the Q&A episode that I'm going to do at the end of the summer to dreadmediapodcast@gmail.com. You can send it to my messenger on Facebook. You can send it to me through Twitter messaging, or you can just tag me with a question in Twitter at Dread Media. Same with Instagram. Oh man, it's my Instagram messages are going to be just a debacle. Try Twitter first. Try Facebook first. Email, of course, is best. In Patreon comments, yes, I still haven't done the Q&A post in the Facebook group, but I'll probably do that before this episode drops on Monday. This is Thursday as I'm speaking right now. So, yeah, we're not going to worry about that so much. And, yeah, that's us. Let's get out of here. This is Over the Mountain by Ozzy Osbourne. You guys take care of yourselves. Take care of others. We'll see you next week, and hail motherfucking Ozzy Osbourne.
They were okay at the time, but we outgrew them, you know. We just, you know, we took LSD, we took cocaine, we took vast amounts of marijuana. It was fun at the time, but then we all just sort of thought this aren't a very good idea anymore.
So you have a more stable life now?
No.